Football Sack.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack podcast. I've got here with me Supernova Pete. How are you, Pete?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Now, we're one man down today. We've not got Matt Greenlaw here today, so I'm kicking off the show. We're going to be talking A-League news and transfers, New South Wales Premier League, the Mirabella Cup, which has gone into a group phase, and we're going to talk the Socceroos draw for another World Cup, and under-20s who kick off their World Cup campaign in the World Cup finals in South America. And we'll also look at Dylan Tombides, who was diagnosed with testicular cancer this week.
Yeah, not very good. Not good at all.
Not very good news, but we'll focus on that a little bit later. A-League news. We've had Stewie Musialik signed to Central Coast Mariners, haven't we, Pete?
Yes, we have. He has signed until the group stages of the Champions League of next season. So it's a good role for him. The coach of Central Coast, Graham Arnold, has said that he's looking for a player of Stewie Musialik's quality to be in that midfield. Don't know whether or not he'll be a starting 11 player, but still, it's a good move for him. Yeah.
He said it's a matter of styles, that it was the game of Central Coast that really fitted his game, and that perhaps he wasn't getting that same level of connection to the game under Vyacheslav Lavichka. He wanted to focus more on, or less on, counter-attacking football and more on his attacking game, and something that he felt constrained with at Sydney.
Yeah, and that's what you'll get at Central Coast. They're better at holding on to that ball and playing more of that attacking football, especially under Graham Arnold. And don't forget, Stewie Musialik did play under Graham Arnold during the Oli Roos and under-20s. I think it was just a couple of years ago. So
it's an excellent move for Stewie. You know, he essentially revealed the extent to which he was doing it tough financially in a recent newspaper article, saying that he'd rented out his apartment on the northern beaches of Sydney. He was living with his mum, and that he was going to make ends meet, but he really needed to sign that next contract. So to link up with Graham Arnold and the Central Coast Mariners, who are fancied by many to take out the A-League this year after that performance against Celtic, it's an excellent move. And we're going to move on to another recruit of Adelaide United. It's somebody who's got a name that sounds like a very famous name in football, Evgeny Levchenko. So what are your thoughts on that, Pete?
Yeah, don't really know too much of him at the moment. He basically is meant to be a proper centre midfielder. Rennie Corland is apparently a really big fan of his. And look, he's going to be a good addition. He's going to be taking over that kind of Marco Flores defensive role. So that way it gives more ability to Dario Vidicic to move forward. So it really should be a good move for him, really.
Yeah, and it's something that I think came about because of Rennie Kulin's Dutch heritage. Evgeny Levchenko was playing in Holland. He signed a one-year deal with the Reds, and it follows the signing, as you say, of Dario Vidicic and John McCain in the past month. So exciting times at Adelaide, despite having lost Marcos Flores. I'm really interested to see how this Levchenko goes. I hope that he's a good signing. I hope that he's not one of those A-League signings that comes for a year and then sort of disappears off into the ether.
Fingers crossed he sticks around.
And Perth Glory are on their way to South Africa very shortly on a bit of a pre-season trip. 16 days.
Yep, 16 days they're going to be away. 3 games and a whole bunch of community involvement. So who knows, it could be a scouting trip. We could see a couple more players joining the ranks of Perth Glory, or it could just be a bit of a holiday for the kids.
Well, that's right. There are a lot of youngsters in that squad, and there's also a few new combinations that they're going to be trying to test out. We've got Shane Smeltz with Liam Miller. We've got the young kids like Jesse Macaroonis, who was recently in the Under-17s World Cup. It's going to be a very interesting and steep learning curve for Jesse in particular.
Yeah, and also don't forget, Ian Ferguson has come out saying that his team will be playing a 4-2-3-1 formation this next season, so it will mean that it will give the players more of a chance to adjust, because as we know, Perth Glory have released 12 of their players from last season. They picked up 10 more, so it's basically an entirely new squad, so they have to start from scratch, get used to how each other's going to start playing, so it will be a fantastic opportunity for them.
And it's also a fantastic opportunity to really grow their brand outside of Australia. When I was in South Africa in 2010 for the World Cup, there wasn't a lot of knowledge of some of the Australian clubs amongst the football-loving public, and they are numerous and knowledgeable. We know a little bit about some of the South African clubs, like Mamelodi Sundowns and the Kaizer Chiefs.
Glad you do.
Yeah. Well, the Kaizer Chiefs have a beautiful strip and a great story. It's now time for us to sell some of the A-League clubs to these regions, and hopefully we see a little bit of player movement between the two countries.
Yeah, that would be good. And wasn't it in Season 2 or Season 3 of the A-League when it was meant to be Perth Glory linking up with Manchester City? That was meant to happen. And I don't remember whether or not it actually went through. I have a feeling that it failed. Mm. Otherwise, Perth Glory might actually have a bit more money.
Well, I'd like to see Balotelli have a year off in Perth after that pirouette back
heel
shot.
Yeah, he probably deserves it.
That was a very interesting thing, wasn't it, in America during the week? Obviously, we had Mario Balotelli coming out saying that the back heel wasn't a disrespectful thing. He was of the view that it was an offside and that he had
absolute rubbish.
It might have, yeah. I mean, Balotelli is known for his temperamental state. Some might say he's extremely hot-headed.
just a little bit.
Yeah, and he got hooked by Mancini after 30 minutes and remonstrated in front of cameras, in front of the squad, and basically was questioning Mancini's authority. And, it hasn't been a good week for Mario Balotelli with the signing of Sergio Aguero as well. So, you know, if we did have that sister club relationship with Perth Glory, wouldn't it be nice to see Balotelli having a few games as punishment for Perth Glory?
Yeah, that would be really good. At least you get a couple of good friendlies out of that. That would be fantastic to see.
I can't believe we got onto this topic. Balotelli.
Okay, let's get back on schedule here.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I think Perth will get a lot out of that pre-season trip in what is a very, very long off-season. Now, there's another saga. It's not the Harry Kewell saga, but it's the Dean Bazanas saga. He's had previously agreed in principle to terms with Melbourne Victory. He subsequently had a change of heart. We're not too sure, pardon the pun, we're not too sure about...
I was going to put you off of that.
Not too sure about the motivations for that, whether there was a difference in view on a contract figure or whether he simply just had change of mind. But now he's being linked to Ricky Herbert at Wellington Phoenix. A very interesting decision in the offing there.
Yeah, it is. It's probably a good decision for him to get first-team football at a club like Wellington, who have had the likes of Mark Paston and Glenn Moss there before. With Glenn Moss now at Melbourne Victory, they probably need another keeper to help out Paston. I'd rather like to see Dean in Europe somewhere. I just think he's got more football over there. He gets the opportunity to play with Greek youth national teams as well. He's been called up for Greek national duty for the under-20s as well as under-23s before. So I think he would get more football, and that's what he needs at the moment, rather than the likes of playing here, whereby you play for about 4 or 5 months and then you take off the rest of the year. Mm. So I think for his development, I would prefer him to be overseas. But as for bringing him back, look, he grew up here in Sydney. A lot of my friends know him very well. I actually stood next to him in the Cove in Season 1 for part of the season as well. So, look, he knows Sydney FC very well. He knows the A-League very well. So, look, it's probably a good move for him at the moment.
Yeah, he needs to get some first-team football under his belt, and that was one of the reasons why he left Liverpool. I think also a change of coach from Benitez to Dalglish, who seems to have more of a focus on English players.
But look, hopefully it doesn't become a Chad Gibson situation whereby you start off at the top and you work your way slowly down. Because I keep quoting the Chad Gibson story whereby he starts off at Brisbane Roar, Queensland Roar, then moves down to State League, then moves to Association Football, and now he just plays at the park with his mates. So hopefully it doesn't happen for Dean.
Yeah,
stick at it, Dean.
A slightly different player, though. I think Chad Gibson never really had that pedigree to go all the way, and Benitez called Bazanas the best young goalkeeper he had ever seen. You know, he did get that one appearance, I think it was in the FA Cup or perhaps the League
FA Cup.
And he made two blinding saves that really showed that he was the real deal. I don't believe he's a Chad Gibson. I think he's a fair few tiers up on the pedigree, but let's watch this space with Dean Bazanas. We're going to move on now to New South Wales Premier League news, and Pete, why don't you take us through some of the results overnight and what we can look forward to today?
Yeah, okay. Well, last night we saw Sutherland Sharks get a shock 1-0 win over Sydney United. Chris Price scoring the goal from range, probably 30 yards out. Just took a low drive and deflected off a couple of players. No one really knew what on earth was happening. Went under the keeper and it's a goal. Everyone was shouting Chris Price had scored. Even actually the referees came up after the game to say, was it Chris Price or who scored it in the end? And we're just like, yeah, mate. Chris Price.
That can happen a lot in the Premier League, can't it?
It can.
You don't have the video replays.
Yeah.
And whenever a goal is scored in the media box, everyone's sort of looking at each other going, who poked that in? What happened there?
Yeah, as long as everyone agrees on a name, we're safe. And we also had down at Bunnerig Sports Centre, the points were shared between Bunnerig White Eagles and Manly United, them having a nil-all draw. So it was probably a good result for Manly. Bunnerig will be disappointed with that. They probably want to keep on going for those wins, but shame. And today, which is Sunday, the 31st of July, there is plenty of entertainment with Sydney Olympic taking on Bankstown City at Belmore Sports Ground. I'm going to head along to that. Are you going to come too?
I've got a few things to do.
Check out some free souvlaki.
Oh, the souvlaki is superb. We've spoken to Peter Sikenis. He assures us that the standard will be absolutely, you know, there or thereabouts all year round. So, you know, we're looking forward to that one. That's going to be a very good game on what is going to be a beautiful Sunday outside.
We also have Parramatta taking on RPL Leichhardt Tigers, Melita, South Coast Wolves against Rockdale, and finally Blacktown versus Marconi Stallions. Looking at how the table's going, Sydney Olympic is still top, Sydney United just behind them, and really the title race is heating up just as we're coming towards the end of the season, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, especially today, Sydney Olympic are going to be pretty tough to beat against Blacktown City, and that would further cement their title aspirations. We're going to move on now to the Mirabella Cup, and we have six teams left in that competition. It is the Victorian knockout competition, FA Cup style competition. We've got two pools, Pool A and Pool B, excellently named.
Very unique.
Yes.
I bet $1 million was spent trying to work out those names.
Yeah, look, they workshopped it. There was a focus group. They threw it out to Twitter. We came up with Pool A and Pool B. In Pool A, we've got Northcote City, Oakley Cannons, we've got Springvale, White Eagles. So, you know, three clubs there who have a pretty strong pedigree in Victorian Premier League football, and looking forward to those games.
Yeah, well, looking at that pool there, you have to put some really big support behind Northcote City as well as Oakley Cannons. Springvale is sitting down the bottom of the table, so really I would hope to see Northcote City progress through that. It is the quarterfinals, so we're getting close. It's heating up. Stay tuned for that one. And Pool B.
Well, just before we move on, yep, perhaps Springvale might be the Birmingham City of this competition because...
Oh, yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, you know, you might have a club that very close to relegated or relegated. What happened to Birmingham City at the back end of the season? They got relegated, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So, you know, you might have that season with Springvale hitting dead last but maybe winning the FA Cup style competition. Pool B, we've got Green Gully, Hume City and Melbourne Knights who had a victory over Cobram Victory.
Yep.
Cobram Victory were a team we showcased last week with Scott Condon. We talked about the fact that they're a club from a very small town who had busloads of supporters come up to watch that game against Melbourne Knights. Unfortunately, they weren't successful, were they?
No, it ended in a 2-1 win for Melbourne Knights. Their fantastic match. It was actually broadcast online, so it meant that a lot of people were able to watch that game. I know that Matt Greenlaw, who... disappointingly, the seat's empty at the moment.
The seat's empty, isn't it? Let's shed a tear.
No. And the crowd goes wild. Yay!
Hey!
Yeah, look, plenty of people got to see that game, and fantastic advertisement for the Mirabella Cup as well as for Football Victoria. Credit to Melbourne Knights getting that win in the end. Hmm. Looking at how those teams will go, I'm putting faith in Hume City or Green Gully. No, Hume City. They'll get it. Melbourne
Decisive.
Knights. Yeah. Melbourne Knights. I don't think they can, but who knows? Anything's possible.
We always like Melbourne Knights. They groomed Mark Viduka into the player that he was, the player he became. There's a stand named after him there, I believe, at Melbourne Knights' home ground. So, you know, we're always rooting for Melbourne Knights. We're going to have a short break now, and then after the break, we're going to talk Socceroos draw for the World Cup, under-20s who are playing in their World Cup, and Dylan Tombides.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Okay, Socceroos draw was overnight and we woke up to the news that we'd be up against Saudi Arabia, Oman and Thailand. So three interesting teams there, three very different teams. What are your thoughts on that, Pete?
It's going to be tough. Saudi Arabia, as we were mentioning before on Beyond the 90, is coached by Frank Rijkaard. So look, it's not a Saudi Arabia who we might have said before, guaranteed to win. They're actually going to play some good football, and they could cause us some issues there. Oman, look, you can't take them lightly. Going away to those types of games, it's going to be tough, and especially Thailand. They're the ones who can cause us some problems where it's almost 100% humidity. It's really going to test how the players are going to go. I'm not too sure whether or not whether Hugo Ozeak will play more A-League-based players because of their acclimatisation to the heat, or whether or not he's going to use the European-based players yet. But look, it's going to be a fantastic qualifying group for sure.
It's always very exciting when it comes to the first game of a World Cup campaign. Obviously, it's going to be very interesting to see how Holger Ozic picks his squads and picks his teams for these games. I'd like to see a lot of A-League boys getting a run. I'd like to see them playing at home in the green and gold. You know, some of the youngsters that come to mind, like Mustafa Amini, like Bernie Abini, Issei, you know, these guys really come to the fore. Looking at Saudi Arabia, they've not perhaps been the team that they have been in the last, you know, that we've been used to. They've played at four World Cups. Being coached by Frank Rijkaard is something that will suggest that they will be improved, but they had to qualify to go through qualification to get to this group stage. They really are still the dark horses in this group, but perhaps, you know, I think Frank Rijkaard is going to organize them a lot better.
Yeah, I think that they're going to play a better brand of football. It's the top two who go through. Saudi Arabia could do it.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia probably, for mine,
they're more likely to go through.
They're more likely to give us to give us troubles rather than Oman or Thailand. Oman are a known quantity for us. We know we've played against them a fair bit in the last few campaigns and Asian Cup qualification rounds. They're coached by Frenchman Paul Leguen, and he had some very strong words to say about the game where it was, I believe, in Melbourne. He had some very strong words to say about the refereeing and about some of the decisions, and he's always a bit of a feisty character. They've got some very talented players, very talented young players as well. The guy I'm most looking out for is Fawzi Bashir. He's played about 80-odd games. He's scored about 20-odd goals, and he's born in 84, so that makes him 26.
Yep.
84 caps already. He's going to be someone who's got a lot of experience under his belt.
Yeah, he seems like someone who could cause some issues.
And indeed, he was someone who caused us some issues, you know, the back end of games when we'd perhaps taken our foot off the gas a little bit. But he's somebody who we can't discount. Also, we're coming up against Thailand. Now, Thailand coming to Australia, they may have Surat Sukha and his brother, I believe.
And look, who knows? Sergio van Dijk will be playing there as well, because apparently the Thai national team are still courting him. So, who knows?
Well, I'd like to see that. That'd be a nice little homegrown A-League kind of story as well for more fans to sink their teeth into. Thailand, when they come here, it'll probably be a little bit too tough for them. But when we go to Bangkok and we play in a 40-degree, 100% humidity stadium with 100,000 people in it, it's going to be a very tough game. We saw that in the Asian Cup where Mark Viduka had to save us. Mark Viduka looked like he shed about 5 kilos over the course of that game. So we're really going to have to come up against it. And perhaps if we're relying upon a result in Thailand, that could be a very tough fixture.
The Thai national team is coached by Winfried Schaffer, who is a German coach. And we know what the German mentality to football is. And looking at his record, he's coached the team for 4 games. They've had 2 wins and 2 draws. Mm. So they're not going to be pushed over at all.
Absolutely not. They're quite a proud nation. They don't give up the fight. If we can get 1 or 2 goals early, then might be floodgates time. But by the same token, they're not going to roll over. They're going to take some breaking down. And we're going to move on to another Socceroos side, this time the young Socceroos, who are playing in the World Cup, the Under-20s World Cup, in South America. They've got a game against Ecuador tomorrow morning at 9 a.m, don't they, Pete?
Yes, they do. They're playing against Ecuador. It will be a fantastic game to watch, without a doubt. Looking at some of the players who've been brought in for that squad, you've got Mark Berengeti, who's guaranteed to be in goals. Ryan Grant. Shame that Matthew Lecky is going to be missing out, but Ben Kanarowski in that midfield. And up front, Kofi Danning, Demi Petratos, those guys, fantastic. They're going to be in the starting side, without a doubt. Mm,
absolutely. And Mustafa Amini is one that we didn't mention, and Bernie Abini-Issei as well. So Those two guys are going to be quite a combination up front in the final third, and I suppose a lot of the focus is going to be on those guys. But we can't forget again
Dimi Petratos,
who's really a Sydney boy through and through, come through the ranks at Sydney Olympic, come through onto Sydney FC's radar, banging in the goals for them, and now he's playing for Australia. Great story.
Yeah, next to him, without a doubt, there'll be Karim Bullitt as well as Bernie Abiniissi. Those guys, with Mustafa Amini just behind them, it's a fantastic combination. Looking at Ecuador, they're going to cause some problems, but really, you have to say, we should be going for that win. We shouldn't be walking into a game afraid of anyone or saying, oh, we could go for a draw here. We should be going for that win, and we should really get that win.
Yeah, we need to not forget the fact that we really don't know a lot about Ecuador at this age group. We know that they've produced a lot of great players in the past. We know that they're a football nation steeped in history, but we need to also remember that we are Australians and that we want the 3 points. And really, we need to earmark this game for 3 points, the Costa Rica game for 3 points, and to focus on what we can do against Spain. We know that they're a very strong side, and they really are one of the World Cup favourites, and we've drawn a pretty tough group, it has to be said. One of the most interesting stories about the under-20s side is Karim Bullitt. He is a player who played exceptionally well at the under-17s level. He scored an immense amount of goals for that side. He then had his issues with crime, and he was in a court on charges of assault, possessing weapons, all sorts. He's a guy who's quite an edgy character, but he is a phenomenal striker, and he's been playing his football in the Gumbrinus Liga in the Czech Republic for a team that is very tough to pronounce unless you're like me and you have a bit of Czech heritage in you. They're called Mladá Boleslav, and they picked him from Sydney FC out of, you know, relative obscurity for a lot of Sydney FC fans, and he's really come on there, hasn't he, Pete?
I'm a huge fan of Karim Bullitt. He's such a great footballer, and you give him game time and he'll put in those goals. That's the thing. He needs that pressure on him, I guess. Give him the opportunity, he's going to help you out. He works really well with the players around him. Mm. Sure, there have been a couple of problems off the field, but look, he's young, he's going to make problems. Mm. It's just that his problems made into the newspapers and into the courts. Mm. I have a lot of faith in that kid, and I think he will go a long, long way if he makes the right choices from now. If he focuses on his football, just puts his head down, starts scoring some goals, he would definitely be one of the Socceroos for that squad in 2014 for Brazil, without a doubt.
Absolutely. This World Cup really for him is about redemption. It's about a second chance. It's about a chance in football, which only football can bring. A lot of his cohort that he knew growing up probably don't have the same opportunities that he does, and he really needs to recognize that, to take hold of that with two hands. And one of the things I really like about Karim Bullitt is he has that aura around him. He scores goals and he has this sort of attitude and this charisma that a lot of Premier League players have around him, and he's prolific with goal scoring.
Yeah.
So he's really one to watch out for, and if the young Socceroos go well in this World Cup, I think it'll be down to him in no small measure. One of the interesting stories is the absence of Matthew Lecky. He is a player who has been signed to Bundesliga side Borussia Mönchengladbach and held back by their coach Lucien Favre, who made the call, as he was entitled to do, as the FIFA Under-20s World Cup is not an event which is a designated FIFA event.
Yeah.
Clubs can hold their players back. He's held him back for the first game of the Bundesliga season, which is against one of the powerhouses of world football, Munich. A big call, but if it comes off for this young Socceroo, a great decision.
Matthew Lecky, he needs that game time, and he will only grow, and he will be one of those guys, also like Karim Bullitt, who should be in that Socceroo squad for the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Mönchengladbach actually won their game 3-1 against Jan Regensburg overnight, so one of the games there, not too sure of the details too much. But look, he's meant to be playing against Bayern Munich next weekend, so that opportunity is just phenomenal for him.
That would be a priceless opportunity for Matthew Lecky. He's always been one of those players. He came into the A-League as a bit of a blunt sword, but he was very, very powerful. He sort of bludgeoned his way through defences and scored some beautiful goals. Lucien Favre has said the same thing about him at Borussia Mönchengladbach, that he's a player who learns very quickly. He's a player that has still a fair way to go in terms of development, but a player that they've picked because they see that potential in him. If he plays against Bayern Munich, it's going to be the biggest game of his entire career. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
It's the same thing as the experience that Steve Lustiger had in his game against Barcelona.
Amazing.
He walked onto the field in, I think it was the 59th minute, up against Andreas Iniesta.
Yep, and I think he was given the...
Two seconds in, he's just like, hey, mate, can we swap jerseys? Yeah. Come on,
I mean,
I'll give you mine.
Yeah.
Everyone wants my name, Lustiger. Come on.
And it's exactly what you'd expect. I mean, those first few minutes, you'd think to yourself, okay, it's time to maybe get a hard tackle on him or, you know, really show him who's boss to try to assert yourself and play those mind games. And I'm sure he went up there to try to swap the jersey straight away. He's like, I'm a big fan of yours, and I don't know if you know about me, but I'm from Australia. And,
hi, I'm Steve.
Yeah. And, you know, what an amazing story. He played half an hour against the world's best midfield. What a story.
Yeah. And it's such a great opportunity for him. I keep saying opportunities. If you're participating in the Pete Novakovsky drinking game today, you will be absolutely drunk. And it's only 10 in the morning, so... It's a bit early.
It's a good opportunity.
It's a good opportunity. Have another drink. look, the all the kids who are getting the chances to play their football in Europe is just fantastic. Mm. Dylan Tombides is one name that we have to mention.
Big news this week, young Socceroo, or at least Joey, under-17s Joey, Dylan Tombides, who's playing his football at West Ham, was diagnosed with testicular cancer, which was quite a shocking thing for a lot of fans to find out. He was a player that we had big expectations on for the under-17s World Cup, and we found out this week that he was actually diagnosed with testicular cancer during that World Cup. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting one. Craig Moore, former Socceroo captain, obviously, captain of Rangers, was also diagnosed with that and beat it, and he's been a support figure for him, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He got a couple of calls. Following Dylan Tombides on Twitter, you would know that he's been sending tweets out saying, thank you very much for the lovely comments, because everyone's just sending him as much support as we can. He even got a call from Ben Buckley.
Yeah, a fantastic move by Ben Buckley. We sometimes are a little bit down on Ben Buckley. We sort of don't think that he has that affinity with the game that perhaps he should, but this was a really nice moment and a great touch. So shout out to Ben Buckley for that gesture. It was really something. And testicular cancer is something that a lot of people beat these days. It's a bit like breast cancer in women. If you get to it early, you get the chemo happening, you've got a very, very good chance of survival. And, you know, we're obviously wishing the very best for Dylan Tombides. And thank you guys for listening. That's all we've got time for. Supernova Pete, thank you very much for your contribution today.
No worries. Don't forget, you can always jump on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thefootballsack. Find us on Twitter, twitter.com/thefootballsack. Send us an email. It's info@thefootballsack.com. Or just jump on our website, www.thefootballsack.com. Go from there.
Thank you very much, Pete. And thank you very much to all our listeners. And we wish you well on this Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.